Welcome back to CannaWeek, brought to you by New Frontier Data, where we deliver the week's top headlines in cannabis and hear experts weigh in on the impacts these stories are having on the industry. I'm your host, Heather Wickline. Our first guest has had a 30-plus year career as an entrepreneur, venture capitalist, turnaround expert, board director, corporate leader, attorney, federal prosecutor, connector, and sought-after coach. Whew! Making her uniquely qualified to assist cannabis companies in their journey from startup to IPO. She currently sits on the board of the Marijuana Policy Project and founder and board chair of the Council for Federal Cannabis Regulation. Please welcome Sherry Orlowitz. Thanks so much for being here.
Well, thank you for having me, Heather. It's great to see you and it's great to participate in this podcast. I'm really thrilled.
Awesome. You have quite the list of accomplishments. I almost ran out of breath trying to get through them all. Our next guest has a background in media and strategic marketing and worked for the largest PR firm in the world, now owned by WPP. She has worked for four US presidents in various capacities, from presidential advance, media, and renewable energy. Early investor in the cannabis industry, she currently serves as an advisor to New Frontier Data with our communications team. Please welcome Patrice Engel. Thanks so much.
Hi, thank you.
Well, ladies, we have lots to talk about, so we're gonna dive right in. Complex.com published an article, Where Do Biden and Trump Stand on Cannabis Legalization? This upcoming election has a lot of people questioning where this will take us. But when it comes to the cannabis industry, public opinion has grown increasingly positive over the years, yet both candidates have resisted deviating from their party platforms. And with the House poised to take on a historic cannabis legalization bill this month, it's becoming clear that cannabis could play a pivotal role in the upcoming election. Sherry, I'd love to start with you. How have the politics of cannabis changed going into the 2020 election?
Well, cannabis was pretty much front and center in 2018 compared with 2020. I think that while there's a lot of going on, I think the issues for the country right now are more tied up to what is happening to our democracy. Nonetheless, we have five of the states right now are seeking changes to the cannabis policy and have put it to their electorate. South Dakota, New Jersey, Montana, and Arizona are four states now looking to fully legalize. And something interesting in South Dakota, which we would have never done in the past, is they're skipping trying to just legalize medical and they're going for full legalization. And MPP is very much behind that. In Mississippi, they're going for a medical, and we do think it has a good chance of passing. And if you know Mississippi, you know that Mississippi is very much a religious state, and it has been anti-cannabis in the past. But medical looks like it has a good chance of passing in Mississippi.
That's awesome. Patrice, what are your thoughts as far as the politics of cannabis? How has it changed going into this election?
Well, this is like Mr. Toad's wild ride at Disney. I mean, we're looking at politics, policy, and personality, and it's all the politics. So right now you have, I made a number of notes here. It's very complicated. Right now you have 47 states that have cannabis reforms, 33 have comprehensive programs, and 11 have adult use. So that means that 22 have medical. So I'm going to go back to the 2016 election, because that's when we start to see a real roll of initiatives. Similar to the 2016 presidential election, so many states are passing ballot initiatives to create cannabis reform. Sherry, correct in saying all Mississippi and South Dakota. I also want to touch on Montana and Arizona. They have initiatives to introduce adult use paradigm on the ballot. And it's all been confirmed by the secretaries of state. New Jersey will also have adult use on the ballot. And then you have South Dakota and Mississippi, which you talked about. Cannabis, the key thing here is that cannabis now hasn't always been the first issue or a main issue for people. But now what's happening is that as it's coming onto the state level, it's increasing a momentum for the federal level. So when a state approves a ballot initiative, they can no longer pretty much forget the federal. They have to begin to, it's a reconciliation between state and federal. And now they have to begin to look at federal. So for example, one thing I want to mention here was very important. So for example, Oklahoma passed its initiative. The Republican congressional delegation unanimously opposed any kind of federal cannabis reform. But as Oklahoma came online, which they probably have the largest cannabis reform program in the country, they have most of the licenses. I mean, you have limited license through states, but they have an unbountiful grouping of licenses, that once you begin to do that, you have to, once votes come up, they now, all the congressmen, the state congressmen are now beginning to say, okay, now we need to look at federal. So when the Safe Banking Act came up for a vote recently, all the Republicans were okay with it on the House side, except for two. And that is an amazing new push that we're seeing now.
Right. Is there any prospect for meaningful cannabis reform, in your opinion, if the GOP retains control?
I mean, right now there are pretty much four, if they retain the, if they, okay. So there are four key Senate races up for grabs. You've got Susan Collins in Maine, Steve Daines, Montana, Tom Tillis in North Carolina, Martha McSally of Arizona. And then the key one is Cory Gardner of Colorado. Right. And Cory is a joint with Elizabeth Warren on the States Act. And So the key thing here is that if Mitch McConnell, who loves his hemp, he doesn't really like federal legislation, but he will support Cory on the States Act in order to keep him in office. Once again, I say it's all about politics. And so if Mitch McConnell can keep those seats open for, and they win those, then the Senate will remain Republican. McConnell will be the majority. And then if the president stays in, then you will have a very difficult time getting a lot of legislation passed. But President Trump, the one thing about President Trump, he's a states person. He believes in the States Act. But the main thing is, if it's good for economics, he's going to begin to think about it a little bit, but he's not there on federal legalization.
And one thing that could be said about him is he's very unpredictable. So we never know.
Right.
Well, I have been reading a lot of articles about Mitch McConnell also having a lot of closed door meetings with the cannabis industry. So I would love to be a fly on that wall. So but at least he's open to it and having, you know, open to it behind closed doors, if that makes sense. Well, Sherry, what's your opinion? Are there any prospect for any meaningful reform measures with the Biden administration?
Well, first I'll comment on Trump, and I'll say I think Trump's been pretty clear on his position on cannabis. He has appointed two attorney generals that are hostile to the industry. That's the Department of Justice. And in 4 years, he has done nothing supportive of the industry. And Cory Gardner certainly could use a boost, and he's not getting very much of a boost. A lot of discussion that was going on behind closed doors was about the Safe Banking Act. There is a chance that at the end of the year that the Safe Banking Act might come up, but I don't see it coming up in this next, hopefully, CARES Act follow-on, where money will be distributed to people who need it along with the states and so on. So personally, I don't think Trump is doing anything for the industry. I don't think he's been a friend of the industry. I think he has held off on enforcement, and he's basically maintained the status quo. I think what Vice President Biden has said in the Democratic platform is historic. We're talking about a pathway to legalization. The expungement and decriminalization of cannabis is a long time coming, and we need it, and it's going to make a huge difference. I really think it will help people to get jobs as well, which is so important when their record is expunged. And with regard to legalizing medical, we need to be able to research the plant. We need to understand its constituent parts. And I like the legislation in the MORE Act, which doesn't lay out a regulatory scheme, but basically just removes the federal prohibition on marijuana. And frankly, the question of the FDA legalized being a part of a legalization is going to be very difficult. We are currently working with the FDA on trying to regulate one molecule, CBD, and it has been not, I don't want to say it's a disaster, but it's been very, very difficult. And part of it is the lack of research. Mm-hmm. So I think Biden, again, is made a historic statement and I think the Democratic platform suggests that Biden and the whole Democratic Party is open to education, and we as an industry need to try and educate, because I think that's what's going to move to us forward into full legalization.
There's no, and Sherry, I agree with you, there's no question that the Democratic Party is so much more supportive on this initial, and back to Biden, he's been very consistent on saying he's not quite there on legalization, but he actually chose Senator Harris, who is part of the MORE Act, and it will bring about a lot of positive things for the industry. So, you know, of course, you have a lot better chance of moving this legalization in a Biden administration than we do in a Trump administration, for absolutely sure.
Right. Well, moving on, just talking about some historic bills coming up. Marijuana Moment reported House to vote on historic marijuana legalization bill. Next month, leadership announces. So the MORE Act would federally deschedule cannabis, expunge the records of those with prior marijuana convictions, and impose a federal 5% tax on sales revenue, which would be reinvested into communities that are most impacted by the drug war. Sherry, I'll start with you. How's the influence of the congressional debate about cannabis going into the 2020 election?
I'm going to pivot over to the MORE Act, and currently it's scheduled to be introduced September 21st, and actually there may be an industry event surrounding it. However, we over at MPP have a belief that there is nothing to be gained right now by a vote on the MORE Act, so we're scratching our head, and we think that it may be pulled. And I'll look to you, Patrice, but we think it may be pulled before there's a vote on the floor, because Mitch McConnell has already made it clear it's not going anywhere in the Senate. And so I'm not sure what the purpose of the MORE Act is in terms of bringing it to the floor. In terms of what the MORE Act will do, it will be a game changer for the industry, more so than anything else. Economically, access to capital is going to change the industry. We're going to be in the midst of another gold rush, because so many folks that have been sitting on the sidelines, pension funds, private equity funds, banks and other, now that criminalization is removed, are going to want to participate in the industry. And CPG industry companies are currently looking at ways that they can infuse cannabis into their cereals, ice cream, and so on. So there is a lot of interest in how the cannabis industry can be exploited. And of course, there's the tax potential on the industry.
Do you have any of your own of why the MORE Act is, why it's on the table now, or why it's being presented?
I don't. I think that what we understand, so it sort of suggests, if the theory that MPP is espousing is correct, then it suggests we're going to raise the visibility of the folks that sponsored the MORE Act, but pull it because Mitch McConnell is intransigent. And I think that makes the Democrats look better.
Patrice, what are your thoughts?
Well, I agree with a lot with most of what Sherry says, actually all of it. But I also want to add on to this is that, you know, the MORE Act was introduced by the head of the Judiciary Committee almost a year ago, Sherry, I think it was. And the reason was is because, once again, we're talking about the progression of cannabis toward legalization. And there were like 61 different types of bills out there. And he wanted to make sure that his bill was going to get out there. So, and it's much more comprehensive, like Sherry says. The one thing that, and it could be pulled, I have no idea. And, you know, it's hard to, I'm not going to predict, because that means that I have real evidence, but I can speculate to say Sherry's probably, she could be possible. It's a theory. But I have to say one thing about the MORE Act right now. And the reason it's up for, I think, I'm speculating, the reason it's up for a vote is because letter that LEAP sent on August 19th, which is a significant letter, and that it has over 50 law enforcement people involved in this and many other. And I think they saw the MORE Act as a as a possibility to build a relationship between the law enforcement and the communities that have been hit so hard. And so it's almost like a sad perfect storm in that you have all the communities and the protests going on, the racial injustice. And I think that LEAP and now you also have the law enforcement that are saying, you know, nobody likes us, but yet we've been spending all our time on all this piddly marijuana criminalization, and it's hurt all these communities. The MORE Act can actually vitalize some of these communities. So I think they jumped on this also as it's a great marketing thing. As a marketing person, I'm looking at this going, wow. This is awesome for them to get involved right now. The timing could not be better. So I think that kind of brought it and pushed it to the floor, as I'm speculating it did.
Yeah. Now, this is for both of you, but out of all the proposed approaches, which do you think has the most support from like legalization, decriminalization, banking reform, tax reform, medical research? What do you think has the most support from both sides?
I think the MORE Act has been gaining in support. For the Republican Party, the Safe Banking Act offers a way to help the industry without legalizing the industry. I think that's much more comfortable to the Republicans, but I think if we have a Democratic administration, and by that I mean a Democratic president and a Democratic House of Representatives, then I think we're going to see movement of the MORE Act. And there's no question the war on drugs has failed, and the MORE Act, much more so than the Safe Banking Act, is addressing one of the industry's biggest concerns and one of the Democratic Party's biggest concerns.
How about you, Patrice?
Well, I'm looking at all the possibilities here that this federal legalization will help. So I think there would be, all of these would be affected. And there's a fairly aggressive expansion. Like, for example, I see commercialization. You've got pharma and big tobacco waiting on the sidelines, okay? And so therefore, they're gonna come in and they're gonna start working with the states, and they're gonna be looking at, obtaining some of these licenses. So it's gonna be a much more robust program. And also on the testing side, which is where I got tested, which is really a very dear to me. I got involved with Steep Hill early on. And on the testing side, I think you're going to see a lot more research on that, but also you're going to see, if we move toward legalization, you're going to see a lot of checks and balances on that. For example, in California, we're constantly dealing with, it's like the Wild Wild West, testing facilities that are kind of testing to increase THC level contents. And we kind of need a little bit more oversight on that whole thing. You're going to see tax reform. You're going to see increase in veterans. I think every I can't say one or the another, you don't know, but I think they're all going to be able to take advantage of this.
Right. Well, we have to, I guess, wait and see for a lot of this. Well, thank you guys so much for being on here. This was amazing. Before we say goodbye, any final thoughts for our listeners?
Well, all I want to say is that I think every inch of what we're doing is getting us closer to what we all want, which is federal legalization, more opportunities for medical patients, more, you know, we want. And so I think that we're on a very rapid path, and it's not going to go away whether there's a Republican or Democrat in there. It will go quicker if there's a Democrat, White House in there. But once again, we're on the railroad moving very quickly on this, and I'm happy to see that.
You know, I think that the cannabis industry is part of a total course correction, and that course correction is in every part of our society. And a different way of approaching drug abuse and marijuana, and I don't want to suggest that marijuana is drug abuse, but the whole way of dealing with people and things is changing. And I hope it continues to change. And we have access to medical cannabis, which is so important for our vets and for our older people, our younger people, people saddled with anxiety. So much good is to come of it. And when you look at marijuana as opposed to alcohol, there are more and more millennials that would rather smoke marijuana than drink alcohol because it so far is healthier. So I think our industry reflects the time that we're in. And if we keep moving in this direction and we don't hit a brick wall, I think that we're going to see legalization in the next couple of years.
Well, thank you. Well, from your lips to God's ears or Trump's ears or Biden's ears, let's hope. All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening to us and joining us at Canna Week. Please be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. You can find these news stories and more on New Frontier Data's Cannabis Insights Daily. I'm your host, Heather Wickline, and I will see you next time.
New Frontier Data provides this podcast for entertainment purposes only. Nothing stated in this podcast should be taken as legal or financial advice. Reference to any specific product or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by the company. The views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Views and opinions expressed by New Frontier Data employees are those of the employees and do not necessarily reflect the view of the company or any of its officials. If you have any questions about this disclaimer, please contact our legal department.